But until then, this week I want to talk to you about empty hearts. Jesus, at the end here of chapter 7, we're wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. And he is coming to the conclusion. And as he wraps up the Sermon on the Mount, he gives a story. He finishes it with a familiar passage that I think many people don't even realize are part of the Sermon on the Mount. And that is when he says, tells about someone standing before God and being told, I never knew you. And then he gives the story of the wise and the foolish builder. For you and I, when we hear this story, we have some idea, because we have some idea about buildings and construction. We may not be contractors, but we have some idea about the importance of foundation that are underneath the house, the building. Jesus talks about two builders here who build a house, one that builds on the rock and one that builds on sand. And that after they get their houses built, that the rains come. And the rains build, and the Palestinians there, those folks in Palestine, would have really understood that, maybe even better than most of us do. You may have lived somewhere else besides here, but generally we're pretty used to around here that even last night, today, pretty heavy rains, generally the ground can pretty much absorb whatever falls. And we might see a little bit of flooding. We generally see some down on the south end of the county where some of the roads are a little lower and some creeks will get out of their banks. But what they would have been understanding would have been something maybe a little bit more like what we see on the television in California with some of the mudslides and those kind of things, that the ground there in that area is so hard and so rocky that it can't absorb the water generally as fast as it falls. It can't absorb all of it. And so as the rains fall, eventually, it can't go in, so it's got to go somewhere. And in this story, the rains come, and as the rains build and as the water builds, they run downhill, as water tends to do, and hits these two houses and washes away the house that was built on a poor foundation. And Christ is using that that picture, not to give us a building lesson, not to tell us how to build a house, but he is talking about our spiritual house, that many people are building a spiritual house, a religious house, on a poor foundation. They're building their house. We look around, and in America, we see a lot of religious structures going up. We see a lot of people who are living their life, and many people are in church across the land today. They've taught Sunday school. They have or they will give to the offering. They're singing or they will sing. They've taught. They're preaching. They're doing all those things. They're building a religious house, but many of them are built on the sand that Jesus talks about. On the outside, they look good. Perhaps you have seen someone, maybe a tree in someone's yard, and when you look at the tree is it has the blooms on it. It has green leaves. Everything looks good, and then the wind comes, and the wind blows the tree, and the next thing you know, the tree falls, and lo and behold, the center of the tree is missing, because the center of the tree was rotten. It looked good. It had green leaves. It had blooms. Everything looked good about the tree, but on the inside, it was rotten. And that's the story that Jesus is telling us here. He's talking to us about empty hearts. He's saying that there are many who are going through their life. They're building a pretty house. They're building a house that is built, and you look at it, and it's got, the person is a church attender. The person is a giver. The person is a doer. But Jesus says they're Their heart is empty. They're built on sinking sand. They're not built on the rock. And I can illustrate that for you very quickly by that's how we think and that's how we go about things, by simply challenging you this week to go out and to ask people about their relationship with God. Go out and, ask people, do you know God? Are you a Christian? And see that the majority will give you the answer, oh yeah, I attend such and such church. Yeah. Oh yeah, my mama went there and my grandma went there and my whole family goes there. And they'll tell you very quickly about the house, but not the foundation. Oh, I go to church, I'm a deacon down at so-and-so church. They'll tell you about the house, but not the foundation. Oh, I teach Sunday school. I work with the children. I work with the youth. They're telling you about the house, not the foundation. I want you to know you can have a really good-looking house and have a very poor to no foundation. Many of you know about the Baptist Sharing House just up the street here. And several years ago, we had the opportunity as the association to buy the land and the house that are directly beside of the Sharing House. And over time, it became obvious that we really didn't have much use for the house, just the very layout of the house. It wasn't very conducive to anything that that we needed to do, that we just didn't need it. And so we had the opportunity several months ago to sell it, and we were able to sell the house and keep the land and sell the house. For those of you that might be knowing about it, we sold the house and kept the land and sold the house for more than we paid for the house and the land together. And so God worked all that out for us. And in selling the house, you know how that works, we had to have an appraiser come in, and so people come in to look at the house, and they came in, and over time we had done the association had done some work on the house, and the house looked really good. It looked like it was in really good shape, but the appraiser noticed some cracks in the foundation, and really not the foundation, but the brick skirting under the house. And so he demanded that an engineer come in and look at it. And the engineer came in and looked at it and said, I don't like what I see. You're going to have to tear out this section and redo it. And so we hired some people to come in and tear out that section. When they tore out that section of brick and they began to dig it out, they dug down and realized not only is there no, the brick is cracking, but the reason the brick is cracking is because there's no concrete under the brick. The brick is just sitting here. And so there was not, you know, I'm not sure how we got the house to start with, but with nobody catching that. But the front side of the house, Brent, when you went in to do that work, you walked across a porch that was just hanging there. It's a good thing you and I are so skinny we didn't tear the porch down, because the porch looked good, the house looked good, but there was no concrete footing under the house. Jim, did you do the architect work on that? You didn't do that. Okay. And so a house can look good and the footing be bad, foundation be bad. I want you to know this morning, you can look good. You can look churchy. You can look Bible-y. You know, you can look Christian-y. You can look religion-y and have an empty heart. I want you to look with me at this story and see some things that are important for us to hear this morning. Notice as Jesus describes the situation of the wise and the foolish builder. He says to us, first of all, he reminds us it's a dangerous situation, because he says to us, if you look closely in this verse, you'll notice something. In verse 21 of chapter 7, he says of these people, he says there are going to be some that stand before God and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Haven't we done work in your name? Haven't we served you? Haven't we been busy for you? First thing I notice is there are proclaimers. That there are those who, again, they look good. He says to us that there are some who they're busy. They even stand before God and they don't go, who are you? We don't want anything to do with you. They stand in front of Him and say, Lord, Lord. They acknowledge Him as Lord. They stand there and they say, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done works in your name? Haven't we done things for you? And so there are those that proclaim, and you know, it doesn't really take a great deal to be a teacher or a preacher, you can stand up and teach. You can stand up and preach. You can sing. You can play an instrument. You can be in the choir. You can be a deacon and not have a full heart. You don't have to know Christ. And, you know, I've said this, many of you have heard it, you know, that I wish we were, some of you younger people won't remember this, but back in the day, especially in uptown areas, they had parking meters. And when you dropped your penny in and you cranked the little thing, and when your time ran out, a little red thing would pop up and let them know that your parking time was up. And they'd run by and stand there and watch it and give you a ticket. And you know, I've often said it would be great if people had one of those little meters on their head so that we would know that if they were a Christian, a little red flag would pop up and we'd know what we were dealing with. But the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of folks walking around that don't have little red flags. We look at them, and again, I give you an example. Go to a funeral. Pick the obituary today. Go to the funeral this week and listen to what's said. Oh, this is a good person. They gave to their church. They loved their family. They you know, everybody just loved them, and they worked in their church, and they did this, and they did that. We know a lot about what they did. We're looking at the house. And the foundation is sand. Jesus says they're proclaimers. They talk about Christ. They talk about the church. They're even givers. They're doers. But the fact of the matter is that they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Again, look at how we ask the question. We'll go out and we ask the question quite often, where do you go to church? We're more concerned about which translation of the Bible they're reading out of. Which gospel radio station do you listen to? Do you listen to Southern gospel or contemporary music? You know, we're more concerned about, oh, does she wear makeup or not? Does, you know, how's he dressed? And, you know, how long is his hair? And, you know, we're worried about the house when the foundation is missing. Christ says they proclaim, but the heart is empty. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He says there's a dangerous problem here. There's a dangerous situation. They are proclaimers. But not only does he say they are proclaimers, but look what he says, they are perceptive. Look at this next group that he talks about. He says in verse 26, he says that there are those, he says, that they hear. He says, well, I'm concerned. Everyone that hears these sayings and doeth them not. Everybody that hears them, but does them not. One of my great fears is the flu. Not that I'm afraid of the flu. Quite honestly, I don't think I've ever had the flu. If I have, I didn't know it. It may be like pneumonia. The one time that I had pneumonia, I asked my doctor, and some of y'all may disagree, I'm just telling you what my doctor said. I said, is this what they call walking pneumonia? He said, there's no such thing. There's just people that are too stupid to quit walking when they have pneumonia. Yeah. And I think he was saying I was one of them. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had the flu. But if I did, it was walking flu, and I gave it to you. Okay? Here's my fear of the flu. Not that of the flu or of being sick. Yeah, I've kind of gotten used to that lately. I'm not real worried about that. What I am terrified of is that every year in the fall, my doctor and my wife try to hornswoggle, blackmail, beat me into taking the flu shot. And I refuse. I don't believe in it. I don't trust it. I think it's a marketing gimmick by the medical profession. You go get yours, that's your business. I don't like it. I don't like the science behind it. Some of you may be in the flu vaccine business. I'm sorry. But I'm not taking part of your program. I don't like it. But what worries me is I'm going to get the flu. And the flu's going to be over and gone. And my wife and my doctor are still going to be, we told you you shouldn't attempt the shot. We told you should have took the shot. Your sister be in that crowd too, because she gets on me every fall. I don't take that shot. And I've made it through this winter, and I plan on making it through next winter. If I don't, I'll deal with it, okay? But look what Jesus says about this crowd. He says, and everyone that hears the sayings, can I tell you something that's going to be horrible? Hell is going to be horrible. Can I tell you something that's going to be even worse? To go to hell from Cabarrus County, North Carolina. To go to hell from the southern end of the United States, from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, this area, where there are more churches than there are McDonald's, where there are churches on every corner, where there is where there's not a church, there is a man standing on a corner proclaiming the gospel. And there are very few people that I know of, in fact, I don't know of any personally, who are going to be able to stand before God and go, I didn't know. You know how your children do when you tell, I didn't know. No. Christ says here, those that hear the gospel, there are those that are perceptive. They're sitting on church pews this morning all over America. There are Sunday school teachers, men and women, who have got up. They have poured out their heart. The choir, the musicians, the singers have got up. They have done everything in their power to present the gospel. The man of God has gotten up, or will get up, or is getting up, and he is going to pour out his heart. He is going to beg. He is going to plead. He is going to do everything in his power to get them to accept the good news and have a personal relationship of Jesus Christ. And they're going to get up, and they're going to walk out the back door. They had on the same suit, the same tie, the same dress. They looked. They sat there the whole time with their Bible open. They may have even said amen during the service. They may have even been one of the ones doing that music. They may have even been one of the ones teaching that lesson. But they've walked out with an empty heart. The house looks good, but the foundation is rotten. Arthur Pink, old theologian, I love how he describes it, and I'm gonna read it so I get it right. Arthur Pink says this: they bring their bodies to the house of prayer, but not their souls. They worship with their mouths, but not in spirit and in truth. They are sticklers for immersion or early morning prayer, but they take no thought about keeping their hearts with all diligence. They boast of their orthodoxy, but they disregard the precepts of Christ. Multitudes of professing Christians abstain from the external acts of violence, yet hesitate not to rob their neighbors of good name by spreading evil reports against them. They wouldn't think of going next door and punching their neighbor in the nose, but they'll gossip and slander and run their name down all over town. They contribute regularly to the pastor's salary, but shrink not from misrepresenting their goods and cheating their customers, persuading themselves that business is business. They have more regard for the laws of man than the laws of God. Dangerous situation to build a house with no regard for the foundation. I want you to notice something about these two men. Not only is it a dangerous situation, but I want you to see why it's so dangerous. Notice not only the dangerous situation, but we discover some similarities. Notice what it says. If you look closely, it says in that, look at that, look back at that passage with me. Look at it. It tells us there, it says that two men built a house. It says, and we know that in a moment it calls one of them wise and it calls one of them foolish. But both men built a house. It doesn't say there was any difference in their house. It doesn't say that one built a two-story house and one built a ranch level and one built a split level and one built a brick and one built a cabin. It says two men built a house. We see there are similarities. They had a similar vocation. They both built a house. They both built a house. No difference. The only difference in the house was the foundation. One built on the rock and one built on sand. But they both built a house. Folks, we're not talking about the drug dealers. We're not talking about the alcoholics. We're not talking about those running the streets and doing all kinds of illicit, immoral, all kinds of hideous, horrible things. We're talking about two men that built a house. We're talking about two people, both of them sitting in church, both of them holding their Bible, both of them giving to the offering, both of them singing alone with the choir, both of them patting their foot with the special music, both of them saying amen when the preacher preaches, both of them in coats and ties, but one of them has built his house on sand. It's dangerous because they're similar. See, I look around this morning, and to be perfectly honest with you, if I look around this room and I look at you, you all look Christian to me. You know, you ever thought about what's a Christian look like? You know, we got in our mind certain traits, certain characteristics, certain dress. But the fact of the matter is, the best Christian in the joint this morning may have on short shorts. The best Christian in the place may be a man with hair down to here. Because it's not about the house. It's about the foundation. Some of you ladies this morning that are sitting here would have been written right off because you've went and put on some of that evil makeup. And in some churches, you'd been written off. Some of you, how dare you, have come in with something other than a King James Bible. And in some churches, you'd be a heathen. Most of you men don't have on coat and ties. Some of his hair is probably too long. Some's probably too short. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, it's not the house. It's the foundation. They have a similar vocation. Not only they have a similar vocation, they have a similar location. Notice this about their house. The Bible says that both men built a house, but if you look, then it says what? It says the rains came. And the rains came against both houses. And so, they not only have a similar vocation, but they have a similar location. They have built their house in the same spot. They're in the same neighborhood. When it rains on one, it rains on the other. When the floods come on one, the floods come on the other. And so what we see about these two men are, these are two men who have built a house. Again, they're doing the same things. They're in the same place. They're in the same church. They both teach Sunday school. They both are deacons. They both give. They both work. They're both on the building and grounds committee. But the fact is, one of them has a personal relationship with Christ and one of them doesn't. One of them has built his house on the rock and one of them has built his house on the sand. They have a similar vocation. They have a similar location. It's not that we can look at one of these men and say, oh, there's the lost man. There's the one who's built his house on sand. I would have dared you. I would have challenged you to go to this house I mentioned just a mile or so up the road and to have looked at that house and said that there was anything wrong with the foundation. In fact, I will tell you the words that came out of my mouth. That house has been there 100 years. It'll probably sit there another 100. As long as we keep Brent off the front porch, I guess. And, you know, can't tell. Similar vocation, similar location, similar aspirations. They wanted the same thing. These two men just wanted a house to retire in. These two men just wanted a roof over their head when the rains came. These two men just wanted a warm place in the winter. These two men just wanted a safe place for their children. These two men just wanted a house. You know what? I look across this church. I could get in my little car and I could drive around to pretty much any church around here and I would pretty much see the same thing in every church I went into. Pretty much the same thing. There's a few of them I might wander in. It would be a little different. There's one or two of them I might walk in. The preacher might be in shorts. I mean, in flip-flops. I don't know. There's a few of those around. But for the most part, it all pretty much looked the same. We all have one aspiration. You know what it is? Go ask people. Go out on the street this week and ask them this question. You want to go to heaven? You know what you'll find out? Everybody wants to go to heaven. You want to know what else you'll find out? Everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Guarantee it. Martin, do that this week. People come in the cleaners. Tommy, you go out. Folks you deal with this week, building their buildings and working on their stuff, ask them if they want to go to heaven. Yes, sir. Are you going to heaven? Yes, sir. These two men do the same things in the same place for the same reason. But one of them has an empty heart and one of them doesn't. The Bible tells us that salvation is not of works. It's not about how big a house you build. It's about how strong your foundation is. It's not about how much you give. It's not about how well you sing. It's not about how often you teach or what instruments you play or what office you hold. It's not about what title you have. It's not about how much of the Bible you've got memorized. It's not about whether you see a lot of older churches and people's names in the windows and names on the pews and names on the lights and names on everything. It's not how many places your name wrote all over the church. It's whether or not your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ says to us, some are building their house on sinking sand. There's a dangerous situation, especially because there are displayed similarities. Same place, same purpose, different foundation. So what is the answer? I'd like to tell you that I've got a four-step solution or a program we can put in place. But here it is. Very simple. Jesus shows us in this passage the answer. Check the foundation. Check the foundation. He says here that the wise man built his house on the rock. There are two words in the New Testament that are translated as rock. Many of you probably have heard them at different times used. One of them is the word Petra. One of them is Petros, with an S on it. This is the one without the S. And this the simplest, without going into all kinds of definitions, the simplest way to explain it is the word that is used here simply means the rock. The rock. The rock that matters. The solid rock. The foundational rock. Christ says the wise man built on the rock. Not on sand. The wise man didn't worry so much about the house. He was more concerned about the foundation. He was more concerned about what his house was built on. Now, there are several things we need to take away from this story this morning. One of them is we need to learn to be careful. It's not about how well someone sings or how much they give or what job or what title they have in the church. It's about whether or not they know Jesus Christ. We need to be careful in how we go about business. We're so quick, again, to ask people where you go to church. Where you go to church? I don't know if you know this, but every now and then we'll get a request for a letter from someone wanting to move their membership to another church, and we'll have to send them back a letter and tell them, we don't know. We've asked around. Edna's been clerk. She knows that's true. Diane, she knows it's true. Every now and then, we'll get a request, and we'll ask people that have been here for years. You know who this is? Never heard of him. Several years ago, had one show up in the paper, in the obituary. They remember it, Poplar Grove Baptist Church. Elsie called me all in a tizzy. Do I send them flowers? I don't know who they are. I said, we're going to take our chances and not send them a flower this time. What about where you go to church? We need to be more concerned with the foundation than the house. We are a church, a culture, a church culture that has become obsessed with the house. How well can they sing? How much do they give? How good a teacher are they? How often do they come? Well, the truth is, what matters is their heart. Then we need to take that another step. And we need to be very careful this morning and ask ourselves the same question. This morning, most of you sitting here, I know that at some point you've made a profession of faith. And again, unfortunately, I don't have a flag on your head to tell me whether you really were saved or not. See, the question this morning is not are you baptized, not are you a church member, not do you teach a class, do you sing, or do you play, or do you know 47 verses of Scripture by memory. But the question this morning is your heart. Your heart. See, this is a question that only you know the answer to. When I look around this room this morning, I say, let's close up our Bibles and go on to lunch. Because you either all look saved or you all look lost, because you all look alike. Your heart's either full or empty just looking at you. There's nobody in here that stands out and just look, standing up here. If I was to bring a stranger in here and tell him to walk up here and say, pick out the one that knows Jesus, and pick out the one that doesn't, I can tell you standing here looking at you, there's nothing to distinguish you. There's nothing about the house. It's all about the heart. And this morning you may have been in a church or this church longer than you remember. But the truth is, you're sitting here this morning and you know that down deep in your heart, your house is built on sinking sand. You know that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that your heart is empty. And you know what Jesus calls that? Jesus calls that foolish. Foolish. To sit in a church, to hear the music you've heard this morning, the words of the songs you've heard this morning, to hear the testimony and the prayers that you've heard this morning, to hear the message, the passage of Scripture that you've heard this morning, and to leave. I'm reminded again, I've shared this with you before, the old Collier Heights building back before the fire, up over the back door, said if you leave without Christ, if you leave lost, you trample the blood of Jesus Christ. If you leave here today, you're like this man in this passage that he heard the word, but he ignored it. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Perhaps this morning you want to come and kneel and you want to pray. You want to pray several ways. You may have others, but let me just suggest a couple. You want to pray this morning for someone, and I'm not asking you to be a judge, but You know what you see. And there's someone in your family, someone in your circle of friends that in your mind, in your thoughts, they're building on a sinking sand. Oh, they go to church occasionally. They even give a little. They work a little. But the fact of the matter is they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you want to come and lift that person up and pray that God would touch their heart, let them see their condition, that God would help you to have the right things to say, the right words, to help them know their need of a Savior. This morning you want to come and pray for yourself. God, help me to be more aware. help me to be more alert. Some estimates say as high as 90% of Americans don't know Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. That tomorrow as you go to work, as you go to the store, 9 out of 10 people you meet, statistics say, are lost and on their way to hell. Lord, help me to have a burden for the heart, not the house. Our goal is not to see how many people we can get in a Sunday school class or a small group or a worship service, but to see how many people come to know Jesus Christ. But most importantly, you're sitting here this morning, you say, that's me. That's me. I look good. The house looks good. Nice windows, nice brick. I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm going to church. I'm singing. I'm teaching. I'm a deacon. I'm doing. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know Jesus Christ. It's been a few years back in a revival service down in Stanley County. The chairman of the deacons came to the altar and said, I need to be saved. It's not about your title. It's not about your job. It's about your heart. This morning, if you can't say beyond any question, any shadow, that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to come as we stand together.